Today's shiur is a Masechta Chul on Daf Tzadik Ches. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amid Beis, 14 lines from the bottom of the Amid, at the end of the line with the words, Amar Rav Yitzchak Berei de Rav Misharsha. Rav Yitzchak Berei de Rav Misharsha is going back on the second of the three dinim that Rav Nachman learned at the end of yesterday's shiur, and that din was Chal B'Shishim U'Chal Min HaMinyan, that the udder before it is cooked is supposed to be cut and the milk in it removed, squeezed out. And if someone did not do this, then when they cooked the udder, they were cooking the meat of the udder and the milk together. That's Basar B'Cholov. Ein Echanami, it's only Basar B'Cholov mid Rabbanan, because this is Cholov Shchuta. It is cholov that was found in the udder after the animal was ritually slaughtered. And the iser of basar b'cholov is only cholov that was taken, milk that was taken from an animal while it was alive. So it's only iser d'rabbanon, but mid'rabbanon, there would be an iser here of basar b'cholov. And if he was cooking this udder, which he did not cut open to remove the milk, in a pot, and there was soup there, and there were other pieces of meat there, then the halacha is that the iser will become mutter in shishim, and the chiddush is that instead of requiring 60 times the volume of the chal, one only requires 59 times the volume of the chal, because the chal is min haminyan. The chal is considered one of the 60. The Rambam in Perek Tezvah Mehilchas Machos Asuras understands this halacha, because since, as we said, we're only speaking about an Isser Rabbanan of Chol of Shchuta, therefore the Rabbanan were Mekel. They didn't require, as they did in the previous halacha of Reb Nachman, Gid B'Shishim Ve'ein Gid Min Aminyan, because there we're speaking about an Isser Derais of Gid Anasha, so there we require 60 times the Gid before it will become mutter. Here, all we require, since it's only an Issur Rabbanan, the Rabbanan only required 59 times, because the Chal could be part of the 60. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that the Chal is min haminyan, because there's a basic difference between the case of Gid and the case of Chal. The case of Gid, we have an Issur of Gid Anasha, so you need 60 to be mevatel the tam that is emitted from the gid into the rest of the food that is being cooked with the gid. However, here you don't have iser. The milk of the udder is mutter, and the meat of the udder is mutter. It's only because the milk will be giving a taste into the meat. So I can be mitzar if all the other pieces of meat and the soup, everything that, and the vegetables, everything that's cooking in this pot, together with the chal itself, and since the taste from the milk is distributed evenly throughout the pot, the chal can be mitzarf with everything else to be mevatel the tam of the milk. So in the meat, there is no problem of basar b'cholov. However, the milk does not have 60 connected the meat, so the milk will have a problem of basar b'cholov. And now, based on this, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Berei de Rav Misharsha, Ukhal Atzmai Usser. The Khal itself is Usser. Even though we had a leniency that we can use the Khal as part of the 60 to be Mevatel the milk, and the rest of the pieces of meat will become mutter. However, the Khal itself remains Usser. Now let us learn together the Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil Chal Min HaMinyan, because Tosfos is very important to understand the whole sugya here. Tosfos asks a question on that which Rab Nachman said, Chal Min HaMinyan Vim Toimer, Kiv in the Chal Atzmai Oser, Kedam Rinu Misamach. We just learned the halacha from Yitzchak Berei de Rav Misharsha, that the Chal itself remains Oser, Im Kain, Neima Chaticha Atzma Nas Nevela V'Liboy Shishim Levad Michal. So Tosfos understood in the Havamina that the reason why the Chal is Oser is because the Chal is being permeated with the taste of the milk. The chal doesn't have 60 to be mevatel the milk, and therefore the chal itself is basur b'chalav, and therefore the whole chal becomes one piece of nevela because of the taste of the chalav. If so, how can I use the chal? Min aminyan, it should be the same as gid anasha. Just like I need 60 keneged the gid, I would need 60 keneged the whole chal. Why, in fact, is chal min aminyan? The Yesh Lama Tosis answers, the Haida also love Mishum Shiye Tam Cholav Bichal Yoisim Bishar Basar. It's not because we have a greater taste of the milk emitted into the Chal than the rest of the meat. It's distributed evenly throughout the pot. If the rest of the pieces of meat are going to be mutter, the Chal also remains inherently mutter. Why, if so, can I not eat the chal? That's for a different reason. Elafi, sheyesh boi gumois. It has crevices inside the udder. V'hachol of konas l'toich. And the milk is found in those crevices. V'yesh boi oisei chol of tam basar. As we said before, einachanami, the meat is enough to mevatel the milk, so that the meat does not become basar b'cholav, but the milk doesn't have enough to mevatel the meat, and therefore the milk is basar b'cholav. V'yefchel afrishim and achal, you cannot separate it from the chal, me'achar shen is bashal, since it was cooked together, desu loy mahani le kriya. Had he torn it open before and removed the milk, you would have been able to remove the milk. But now that he cooked it together, the chal with the cholov, after cooking it, it's impossible to remove the milk, and therefore the chal remains osur, not because the meat of the chal itself is basur b'cholov, but because if you're going to eat the meat, you're going to eat the be'en, that which is visible, droplets of milk, which have in them the taste of basur, and are osur because of basur b'cholov, and those can't be separated from the udder, and therefore you're not allowed to eat the udder. But the udder remains heter, so that it can be mitzarif with 59 other pieces to be mevatel the milk. As Tosfos further, Vim Toimer, Umatam Achal Atzmai Osur, why, in fact, is the chal? Does it remain osur? All the milk that is within the crevices, after the completion of all the cooking, it does get separated and emitted outside into the rest of the pot. And it uniformly, evenly gets spread out throughout the pot. Kida Omar, as we're going to learn in a few lines in the Gemara, the Misharin and Bekule. The Gemara says that we have to say that all the milk comes out from the udder after cooking, because that's why we're machmer that you need 60 against the whole udder, because we don't know how much that milk is that came out from the udder, and therefore the most it could be is the volume of the udder, and therefore we're machmer that you need 60 against the kechal. But that's on the premise that all the milk comes out throughout the kedera. So uporich nami, the Gemara is going to ask elamiyata nafal kedera cheres lo yaser. We're going to learn a second halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak Bereder Mesharshe that vei nafal kedera cheres oiser, that if the chal, once it's cooked together with the milk, that chal is put into another pot, and the other pot does not have 60 against the chal, that other pot will become usher. And the Gemara is going to ask, since you told me that all of the milk is emitted from the chal, and that's why if in the first pot you had samach, it will be mevatel the taste of the milk in the pot. If so, the Gemara asks, so why should the second pot be usher? There's no more milk in the chal. So now Tosis is asking, how can I say that the chal itself is usur? Because there are droplets of milk, which are basur b'cholav, which cannot be removed from the chal after it's cooked. The Gemara in a few lines is going to say the opposite, that once it's cooked, all of the milk is removed from the chal. So if so, why shouldn't the chal be mutter? Mashma d'pshit, d'leisha yoytze kulay k'may shafarish b'samach. Everything comes out. So why the chal osur? Yesh loimer lefisha mitchilas bishulay koydim shiyotza chalav legamri neser hachalav shebekchal mipnei tam abasur shiboy. When does all the milk go out. That's at the end of the cooking. But at the very beginning of the cooking, if you would stop the cooking at that moment, you wouldn't be able to remove that milk. So at that moment, the milk became usur because of basur b'cholov. The oz loy ha-yachal latzis b'kriya, then it would not have been able to be taken out by tearing the udder apart. Hilkach, af la'achar sh'nigmer b'shuloy, shekvar yotze kuloy. Therefore, even after it's completely cooked, and it is emitted everything, all the milk outside, suloy lishtri, it does not become mutter, because it was usur at the beginning of the cooking. And what is this principle based on? The efshar l'seichtoy usur. We have a rule that if something of heter had iser put into it, and it didn't have samach against the iser, so that whole piece of heter becomes chatich nas, the veil becomes a piece of iser. Now, if it falls into another mixture of heter, and in the second mixture of heter there is samach against the initial absorption, let's say milk was absorbed by meat. So the original piece of meat didn't have 60. Now that the meat with the milk in it went into a second pot, there is 60 against the original milk. We still say that the meat, the first meat that fell into the pot, remains usur. Because even though now you could squeeze out the milk, it will be emitted into the pot. However, since the meat became usur, because at the beginning there was no stomach, it remains usur. So Tosis is saying that we will apply that principle of efshar l'seichtoy in our case. At the beginning of the cooking, the milk in the chal was not able to be removed. And at that moment, the milk became usur because of basur b'cholov. So even though at the end of the cooking process, it gets emitted out into the entire kedera, the milk will remain usur, and hence the chal remains usur as well, because it had that milk in it. And we say, efshar l'seichtoy usur. V'afil l'man d'yomer efshar l'seichtoy mutter, even according to the man d'yomer that says that if something absorbed taste, and it didn't have samach, and later it fell into something that had samach, we will say that since now we can squeeze out the iser, or the milk in the meat, we can now squeeze it out besamach, it now becomes mutter, efshar l'seichtoy mutter, so why should it be usur here in our case? Hocha gazrinin, shema yechlenu koidim she'etze kulei. The chachama made a gzeira, that we're afraid maybe he won't wait till the end of the cooking process. He'll take it in the middle of the cooking process, and at that moment it will be usur, and I'll eat it then. Therefore, we prohibit it even at the end of the cooking process. So this is the way Tosis understands why. Well, we just learned from Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Rav Sharshe, Ukal Atzmai usur. Tosis says either because efshar l'seichtoy usur or because of gzeira. Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Gilyon HaShas says a remarkable thing here. I don't merit to understand why Tosis says that this would be a case of efshar l'seichtoy usur. What's bothering Rabbi Kiva Eger? Ha-basur ha-chal loy neser. The meat of the chal didn't become prohibited. Rak ha-cholav kibol tam basur. It's the milk, as we said, that received the taste of the meat. V'neser ha-cholav, and the milk became usur. V'hu begumois, it's in the crevices. V'asur lechol ha-chal mitzad she'oichol gam kein ha-cholav. Why are you not allowed to eat the chal? Not because the chal is absorbed with basur b'cholav, because they're 60 keneged the milk. The reason you can't eat the chal is because you have droplets of milk attached to it. The acher gemar bishuloi, but after the end of the cooking, she yotza chol of lechutz. We just said that all the milk goes out. Memela yeh mutter. It should be mutter. Do habasur loy neser klal. The meat was never usur intrinsically in itself, that it is usur, like a case of efshar l'seichtoy where heter absorbed iser. Here we're saying the heter did not absorb iser because the iser in the heter was batel b'shishim, as it spread throughout the pot. It's only that the milk droplets are usur because of basur b'cholov, and they are attached to the chal, and I can't remove them at the beginning of the bishul. But at the end of the bishul, where they went out, The meat never became prohibited. What's the connection? What relationship does this din have to Efshel Tzarchli? Efshel Tzarchli is where Heter absorbed the taste of Isser, and there was no Samach then. Even later, it goes into Samach. We say that the Samach cannot be Mevatalit. However, here, the Heter Chal never absorbed the Isser milk because it was Batal B'Shishim in the meat of the Chal together with everything else, all the other pieces of meat in the pot. So the only reason you couldn't eat the chal is because the milk droplets, which are also because of basar b'chalav, because they don't have 60 connected to meat, they're attached to the chal. So if at the end of the bishul process that those milk droplets aren't there anymore, what should prohibit me from eating the meat? Rabbi Kivega says loizachis eleven. He doesn't say tzorach ian or tzorach ian gadol Hashem yor enai, as he does in many other Rabbi Kivegas. Here he says, I give up. I raise my hands in exasperation. I don't merit to understand. How does Tosfos compare it to Efshel Tzarchli? But it comes out that either we have the pshat of Tosfos, apparently who did hold it is comparable to Efshel Tzarchli Aser, or Tosfos says even if you hold it's mutter, or like Rabbi Kiva Eger says that Efshel Tzarchli doesn't apply here, but we have a gzeira that he might eat it too early, and therefore they prohibited the end of the bishul because of the beginning of the bishul. Now let us continue in the Gemara. Now that we have this Tosfos, we can understand the entire next piece of Gemara properly. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Rebbe Rabbi Sharsha Uchal Atzmai Aser. So we already saw from Tosfos why the Kal remains Aser, because of Efshel Tzarchli Aser or because of Gzeira. The E Nafal Kedera Cheres. And now if this Kal in turn fell into another Kedera which didn't have 60 against the Kal, Oyster it will prohibit the second pot. We will understand this line of Gemara better in a few lines. Amar Rav Ashi. Said Rav Ashi, Ki havina be Rav Kana, when I was by Rav Kana, in the Beis Medrash of Rav Kana, he boiled on, we had a question. Ki misharinen, when you need 60, when you cook the chal without tearing it open, and now you need 60 in the whole pot, including the chal, min haminyan, but do you need 60 against the entire chal? Ki misharinen bedidei misharinen, because of the milk that is usur in the chal, I will need 60 against the whole chal. And what the Rishonim explained this to mean is, do I say that all of the milk gets emitted from the kechal into the rest of the pot, and I need 60 against the whole milk, and I don't know how much that whole milk is, and therefore the maximum it could be is the volume of the udder itself, and therefore I have to measure against the udder, or do we just estimate how much we think went out of the milk? In other words, this tzad holds that not all of the milk went out from the udder, only some of the milk. And therefore, we won't be machmer that you need 60 against the whole volume of the udder, but rather we'll say you only need 60 against what we estimate went out, which is only partial. Now, the Mefarshim explained that by other Isurim, there's no question. You always need 60 against the entire piece of meat of chazer that fell into a kosher pot. Even though when we remove the chazer, we know that what was emitted from the piece of chazer into the pot was not the whole piece of chazer. I'm removing the chazer. It's only some gravy that came out. It's only a piece that got disintegrated into the rest of the mixture of heter. But yet, there were machmer, and there's no question that we're going to say, since I don't know how much came out into the heter, I have to be machmer. The most could be the volume of the entire piece of chazer that fell in. There's no question, because there we're speaking about Isser itself. However, over here where the chal is heter, and the chal we're using as part of the 60 to be mevatel b'shishim, any of the prohibited milk. So here the Gemara says maybe we could be mekel and we don't have to go to the maximum of samach keneged the chal. Maybe it's enough to estimate maybe less went out, not all of the milk went out. Here we can be mekel and say that we'll estimate that it only partially went out. That's the Gemara's question over here. answers the Gemara, Pshita debidei misharin. It's for sure that you have to estimate against the entire cow because all of the milk went out. Why? The Ibam had enough minay. If you're going to say no, only partial went out, and I'll estimate how much went out, minoyadinin. We can never figure out exactly how much that is. So it'll never be halacha lamaisa. It'll be a moot point. We won't be able to work with that. So it must be that we say that everything went out, and therefore we measure against the volume of the entire chal. Ask the Gemara, and Tosfos brought down this kasha, elameata, if so, if you're telling me that you know why I measure against a whole chal 60, because every part, molecule of milk was emitted from the entire chal, if so, there's no more milk left in the chal. So nafalik derech eres lo yaser. Why did Rav Yitzchak Reiner Misharsha in the second halacha state, v'i nafalik derech eres oyser, that this chal that was cooked without ripping it open and removing the milk, if it then fell into another pot and that pot didn't have 60, it will usher. Why should it usher? All the milk already went out in the first. You just told me that the meat itself is mutter because the meat had some of the mevatel the milk, and you include the chalm and a minion to mevatel the milk because it itself is heter. What's the problem? The milk. And I need 60 against the whole chal because all of the milk went out, and the maximum that that could be is the volume of the chal. But if all of the milk went out, so when the chal then falls into the next pot, it should have no milk in it, and the chal itself is mutter, and there's no pieces of droplets of milk in the chal that are usher either, because they've all been emitted into the first mixture in the first pot. So why is the second halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Risharsha ve'inaf l'kderech es usher? Why should it be usher? Answer the Gemara, even though Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Risharsha, since Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Risharsha said a second halacha u'chal atzmai usher, that was his first halacha, that the chal itself remains usher. Why? Either because of efshel l'saych de usher according to Tosfos, or according to the second shot of Tosfos, because it's Xera, the beginning of the Bishul. So we usher the end of the Bishul because of the beginning of the Bishul. But the fact is now it remains usher. Shavu Rabbanan Kichaticha de Nevela. The Rabbanan looked at the Chal at the end of the cooking as if it's a piece of Nevela. So there is a dichotomy here. On the one hand, we say we consider it heter, and it's mitzarif to the 60, to mevatel the tam of the cholov. On the other hand, once the rabban at the end of the bishul said that it is osir exera because of the beginning of bishul, as Tosfos explained, it has a din of a chatichas nevela, and it's like our Mishnah Rashi says, where if the gid was cooked with other things, so if there's samach against the gid, everything else in the pot is mutter. If you recognize the gid, you remove the gid and you can eat everything else there, but the gid itself remains usher. So here too, since we say that you cannot eat the chal because of the milk, therefore the chal remains like a piece of iser, and although the rest of the pot will be mutter because of samach, the chal itself remains usher, and that's why if it goes into another pot, we say that if the other pot doesn't have samach, the rest of that pot, the second pot, will be usher. There is a machlokes hapoiskim in Yoredeya, Simen Tzadik, Sif Aleph, whether in the second pot we will also give it the leniency that the chal could be min a minyan. It could be, some poiskim are of the opinion, that once we've given it a din nevela because of the gzeir of the Rabbanon, as Tosfos explained, now in the second pot, we consider it like iser, and if we consider it like iser, then it will need 60 against the entire kal. We won't look at it anymore as being heter. We look at the kal now as being iser in the second pot, and it will not be min haminyan. You'll need 60 against the whole thing. L'chayra, according to the Rambam, who says that the svor in our Gemara is that if it's, since it's only an iser the Rabbanan of chol of shchuta, therefore the Rabbanan were mekel, then it wouldn't make a difference the first pot or the second pot. You would always be mitzarif the kal min haminyan. Continues the Gemara to explain the last halacha of Rab Nachman, and that is Beya Beshishim Ve'ein Beya Min Aminyan. If a egg was of Isser was cooked together with other food, then we require 60 keneged the egg, and the egg is not part of the 60, which means you don't need 59 keneged the egg, but rather you need 60 keneged the egg. Rashi in the third wide line At the bottom of the omelet says Beya Shaloif Tame. The Gemara's Havamina is that this is an egg of a non-kosher bird. Says the Gemara, Amar le Ravidi Baravan Labaya, Lememra the Yavatim. Are you telling me that a regular egg, a treif egg, gives off tam? Va'amri inshi, people say when they want to describe something that has no taste, that this food is kimaya de Bay of Alma. It's like water either inside the egg, or it's a taste of water in which an egg was cooked. It has no taste, since egg itself doesn't have a strong taste, and it's within a shell. There is no tam that is emitted out to the water. So how can you say that an egg, a treif egg that was cooked with other food, gives off a taste? We see it does not give out a taste. Now, Tosfos on the top of the Tzadik Ches Amud Aleph, Divrei Maskil Bebeis Beitzos Efroyach, tells us that our Gemara is speaking about that the egg has a shell around it. And Tosfos says that really the Gemara at this point could have answered that we are speaking about that there was no shell, and therefore it would emit a tam. However, Tosfos says that since that is not the normal way of cooking an egg, the Gemara does not give that teretz. What teretz does the Gemara give? Amar Lei. So Abai responded, Hachmai Eskin, and here we're speaking about, as we turn to the Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Aleph, Bebeitzas Efroyach. As Rashi says, it's not a discussion whether it is a kosher bird or a treif bird. Even if it's a kosher bird, it is an egg in which there is a chick. And the Mela then, it's not the taste of egg that we are concerned with, but rather the taste of meat. And whether it's from a tor or a tame bird, it's considered nevela, and therefore if it is cooked, even in a shell, it will require 60 times the volume of the egg to permit the other food together with which the treif egg was cooked. Says the Gemara, and before we go on to the Gemara, let's just point out that Tosfos there in the top Tosfos of Beit Sefroyach says, "V'hu adin b'shar b'nimtze bo dam." Taisa says that the Gemara could have answered that even if it didn't develop into a chick within the egg, even if there was just blood itself in the egg, there would already be a nesinas tam. So according to our Gemara, it comes out that if there's a chick there, or there's dam there, according to Taisa, it does give tam. But if it is a plain egg without dam and without a froach there, it will not give off tam. And on that, the Gemara is going to ask, Avol Tmei Eloi, are you telling me that a regular egg from a non-kosher bird does not give off tam? Israel asks you a kasha, as the Masoreis Shas points out, from a tesefta. The tesefta tells us, Beitzim tohoirois, sheshalkan im beitzim tmeiois. Shalkan means it was cooked. If kosher eggs were cooked together with non-kosher eggs, im yesh ben benoisim tam, kulam asur rois. If the non-kosher eggs emit a tam, there is not 60 to mevatel that tam, then all the eggs that were cooked together with the non-kosher ones are usur. And the Gemara understands that beitzim tameyes mean coming from a oif tame. So you see that it does emit tam, answers the Gemara, hachanami, bebeitzis afroyach. There also, when it says beitzim tmeyos, it doesn't refer to an egg from an oif tame. It could even be from an oif tar, but there's a chick inside it, and it's a nevela, and that's why it gives tam of basar nevela into the rest of the food, and you need samach against it. If so, why is it called tmeya? It really could be from an oif tar. So why is it called tmeya? The answer is, kiven de'ispa afroyach. Since it has an afroyach which has a din of nevela, memela karla tmeya. In that sense, even if it's coming from an oif tar, we look at it as something tummy, something treif, something non-kosher. Ask the Gemara of Amidik Tani Seifa. The Seifa of that Tisefta says, Beitzim Shasholka Venimtza Freyach Ba'achas Mem. If you cooked eggs and you found a chick in one of them, Im Yesh Ben Benoisim Tam, Kul Nasuris. If that egg emits Tam, then all the other eggs, if there's not 60 to Mevatel the Tam, then all the other eggs are Usur. Mechlal Duresh, the less by Freyach Askinen. If the Seifa of that Tisefta is speaking about an egg with an Afroyach, then it would be Mashma when it's speaks about Beitzim Tmeyois, it's in fact speaking about an egg that doesn't have an Afroyach. And what does Tmeyois means? It means an egg from an Oif Tomei. So then we would have a Kasha from the Reisha on what Abaya said, that only a Beitzas Afroyach gives off Tam, but a Tmeyo from an Oif Tomei does not give off Tam. Here we see that even an egg from an Oif Tomei does give off Tam. The Gemara answers, no. These two cases, the Reisha and the Seifa, are really all one case. Perusha come afarish. The Seifa is explaining the Reisha. The Reisha says Beitzim Tahar Rosh Hashulchan and Beitzim Tmeyos. Im Yesh Rebbe Na Isin Tam Kol Nasuris. Now the Sefer says Ketzad. What's the case? Kegoyin Shulchan and Imtzefroich Ba'achas Man. It's not an egg of an Oif Tamei. It could even be from an Oif Tar. We're speaking about an Afroyach. We're speaking about Nevela. That's when it's Nice and Tam. The Sefer explains the Pshat in the Reish, but it's all one case. And now the Gemara says Achanam Mistavra. This is logical to give this interpretation. The Isal Kedat Reish Less Ba'Afroich. If you were in fact to say that the Reish and the Sefer of the Tosefta are speaking about two different cases, the Sefer is speaking about an Afroyach. The Reish is speaking about there is no Afroyach, but it's from an Oif Tam. So then I would have a tremendous question. What's the question? Hashta de lespa afroich asura, if a regular egg, which doesn't have a chick in it, if that emits tam, even though the taste of an egg, when it's not an afroich, is a very weak taste, and if you're telling me that that's able to be emitted outside of the shell into the rest of the food and everything else would be usher if it doesn't have samach against it. So the isper afroich miboya, you have to tell me then the sefer when there's a stronger taste that is emitted from the flesh of the chick. So of course you need samach, and if you don't have samach, all the rest are usher. Why would you have to tell me the sefer? It must be that the sefer is being megal, is revealing what the reish is speaking about. It's all one case, and it's the case of the afroich. The Gemara says, imi shumha, if that would be your only proof, that the Reish and the Sefer are all one case, La'iria, that's no proof whatsoever. Why? Because I could say, Tana Sefer L'Gluya Reisha. The Sefer reveals the Pshat in the Reisha. In other words, if the Reisha would categorically state that we're speaking about a Be'ah that did not have an Afroyach and is Usser, then you're right. If it says the Reisha without an Afroyach, you wouldn't have to say the Sefer, because Kavachoymer, that you need Samach against the egg of an Afroyach. But since in the Reisha it just says Be'itzim Tmeyos, I could learn the Reisha that's speaking about that it has in it an Afroyach. If it wouldn't say the Sefer, and I would just have the word Beitzim Tmeyos, since I can learn it in two ways, either an egg from an Oif Tameh, or an egg in which there is an Afroyach, even from an Oif Tar, I could learn it both ways. So if I wouldn't have the Sefer, I would learn that the Reish is speaking about Beitzim Tmeyos means it has an Afroyach in it. So I need the Sefer to tell me that that's not Pshat in the Reish. Tana is safe, L'Gluya Reisha. Why? Shaloi timer, you shouldn't say Reisha this by Afroyach. Now, what does it mean, Beim Tmeyois? It means it has an Afroyach in it, Avel Les by Afroyach Sharia. But in fact, if there was no Afroyach in it, it just was an egg, it would be mutter because it's not emitting any tam, and it wouldn't need samach. Tana sefer this be'afroyach. It tells me the sefer that the sefer is speaking about an afroyach, and that's clear cut. It says clearly it's speaking about it has an afroyach. Mechlal duresha less be'afroyach. So that reveals that duresha is not speaking about an afroyach. When it says tamei, it means it's from an oif tamei va'filoch yasira, and even so, it is usher. So in other words, you want to tell me a pshat. Fine. You want to tell me to save his megalit of pshat and deresha, that it means it's speaking about an afroyach, and if it's no afroyach, then there is no din of samach that is required. But you don't have any proof. Your only proof was that if I have the resha without an afroyach, I don't need the sefer with an afroyach. Yes, I do need the sefer with an afroyach, because since the resha doesn't clearly say it's speaking about without an afroyach, if I would not have the sefer, I would say that the resha is speaking about with an afroyach. But if there's no afroyach, it would be mutter, you wouldn't need samach, therefore I would need the sefer to say afroich distinctly, and therefore I will say the reish is speaking about without an afroich, and yet it gives off a tam, and yet you need samach. So you have no proof from the fact that we have two cases. It could be that the sefer is stated to tell you that the reish is not speaking about an afroich. However, our Gemara is trying to say that the Sefer is there to reveal to you the correct pshat in the Reisha, that the Reisha is speaking about with an Afroyach. But if there would not be an Afroyach, then Einachanami, we remain, as Abaye says, without an Afroyach, then Einachanami, you would not need Samach, because the egg would not give Tom. Continues the Gemara, Hahu Kizei Satar, but there was this Kizayis of non-kosher Shuman, Chelev, the Nafa, but the Kula de Bisra, that fell into a pot of meat, Sava Rav Asi, or as the Masar Sashas tells us, it's Rav Ashi, Lishiure, Bemai de Bola de Kula. He had a Svara to say that we would add to the Samach that which was absorbed from the Heter inside the walls of the pot. It was speaking about here where in the pot itself there was not samach to mevatel the kezayis of chelev. So he wanted to add what was absorbed in the walls of the keli to the samach. The case was where both the iser and the heter were dried up, were shriveled up, and they were not the same size as they were when they first entered the pot. And Rav Ashi held that we could be mitzarf that which was absorbed in the walls of the keli, and then there would be samach. Amr le Rabbanan, Rashi says Rabbanan means the Talmidim. The Talmidim said le Rav Ashi, atu dat tera bala di sur loy bala. You want to be mitzarf to heter, but the iser was also shriveled up, and it's not as large as it was when it first entered the pot. So the same ratio of heter that was absorbed, that same ratio of iser was also absorbed. And therefore, if you don't have samach in the pot, it won't help you to add the heter, because then you'll have to also add the iser that's absorbed within the walls of the pot. And therefore, as Rashi tells us, all you're able to do, ella hakol misharm kemoishan urayim, you look at what's inside the pot itself. If you have samach there, it's mevatel the iser. And if you don't have samach there, then it is not mevatel the iser, and everything becomes oster. The only time you would be able to add what was absorbed in the doifne hakli, as we learned on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amid Beis, that you can add the kedera, and that means ikad amri b'may debola kedera. When can you add what was absorbed of heter inside the walls of the keli? If you know the size of the iser when it fell into the pot, and it's the exact same size, whereas the heter you see is shriveled up, so some of the heter went into the daifne kli, then I'm able to be mitzarif what was absorbed in the walls of the keli. But in our case over here, the Talmidim were saying to Rav Ashi, you should not be able to add what was absorbed in the walls of the keli. The Gemara says another incident of iser falling into heter. Hahu palga the zeisa the tarba the nafal b'dikula the bisra. There was a half a kezias of chelev that fell into a pot of meat. Sover marber of Ashi l'shiure, but plus in palga the zeisa. So he thought that since it's only a chatzi shir, and he was of the opinion that chatzi shir is not aser min hatorah, it's only aser min rabban, and therefore one could be makel, and even if there was only 30 times the amount of the half gezayis, it would be able to be mevatlet. Omer le avua, so Rav Ashi, his father, told him, lava minalach, didn't I tell you, loy tezalzel b'shiur in the rabbanan, that even if we were to say that chatzi shir is only the rabbanan, but you should treat the rabbanan the same as the rice. If the rice you need samach, you should need it on the chatzi shir, which is mid rabbanan also. V'yoid, ha'amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan's opinion is chatzi shir aser min hatorah, that we don't even have to look at this as an iser de rabbanan. This is an iser de rice. The Rav Yochanan shita is that chatzi shir is aser min hatorah, and therefore you should definitely use 60 here as well, and not be mevatlet with 30. Amar Rav Shemin bar Abba, Amar Rav Idi bar Idi bar Gershom, Amar Levi ben Parto, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Biryam, Mishum Zaken Echad. This whole chain of Amaroyim, they said in the name of a certain Zaken. And who is the Zaken? Rabbi Yaakov Shmei. His name is Rabbi Yaakov. What did Rabbi Yaakov say? The Bey Nasiya from the house of the Nasi Amru. They said the following rule concerning eggs. Beya Besamach Asura. If there's only 60 to Mivatal the eggs, the egg of Isser, then everything else becomes Asur in the Taruvis, in the mixture. But if the Isser has against it 61, besamach va'achas muteris, then it is permitted. Now, this psak of the Bey Nasi is not clear. We could have two ways to understand it. We could say, Beyu besamach asura means if there's 59 plus the egg of Isser, which is a total of samach, then it's asur. But if you have 61, which means 60 plus the egg of Isser, then it is mutter. That's one way to learn it. Or you could say it means Beya Besamach Asur for a certain reason. We'll soon see a machlokes rishonim what the reason is, but for a certain reason, and a mixture of an egg with other eggs or with other foods is more chomer. Beya Besamach Asur means that you have a total of 61, and it's still Asur. It's Beya Besamach, it's not 59 plus the egg equals 60, but rather it's 60 plus the egg, which means you really have a total of 61. That's Asur. Besamach Va'achas with 61 means 61 Vehu, and the egg of Isser itself, which means you have a total of 62, then it's Mutaris. For some reason, there's a svara to say that here by an egg, you need not 60 against the Isser, you might even need 61 to make it mutter. Amar Rav Zeira Rav Shemin bar Abba, so Rav Zeira said to Rav Shemin bar Abba, think about it, she'ata matul bagvul heter. You, by not specifying exactly what the Bein Nasiya meant to say, and you just gave the words of the Bein Nasiya without interpreting them, then people will be more heter. They will take a border of heter and they'll say the easier way. They'll say samach va'achas means a total of 61, which means 60 plus the egg of Isser, which is a total of 61. They won't say it means 62. And by doing that, you are going against a question of Shnei Gedoyli Ador. Shari Shnei Gedoyli Ador, Pirshu Es Hadavar. There were two great Gedoylim of the generation who did not explain exactly what, they didn't know the answer to this question, exactly what the Bein Nesiyah meant to say. And who are these Gedoylim? Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Tarvai, Mishmei, Rav Shmuel Ben Levi Amri. They both said in the name of Rav Shmuel Ben Levi. Beya B'samach Asur, B'samach V'achas Muteris. They said that halach of the Bein Nesiyah. V'boyalu, and they had an unresolved question. What does that mean? Does it mean B'samach V'achas Bahadei Didei, Dido? Does it mean that you have a total of 61 its mater including it, which means you have 60 plus it is a total of 61, like all other Yisurim that are batul b'samach? Or Dilmor, maybe Labar Mina, maybe 61 means besides the egg of Isser, Veloy Poshet. And they did not resolve this dilemma, Umar Poshet L'Mifshat, by you not explaining what the Bein Nesiyah meant, people will be more hetter to take the lenient way. So you are de facto telling us the answer to this dilemma of the Shnei Gedoli Ador. And Itmar, in fact, we have learned, Amrav Chalp, Amrav Huna, Beya B'samach V'hi Asura. He explained it distinctly that if the egg of Isser has Samach besides the egg of Isser, it's still Asur, even though normally we bottle B'samach, it is still Asur by an egg. B'samach V'achas V'hi, but if you have 61 plus the egg of Isser, which means you have a total of 62, then and only then is it Muteris. And what, in fact, is the reason why we're more machmer by an egg, that you, 60 against the Isser is not enough, you need 61. We have a Machlokes Rishonim. The Ramban and the Rosh learned that the Pshat is because since the egg is cooked together with other kosher eggs, and the size of eggs are not uniform. It could be that the egg of Isser is bigger than the other eggs of Heter, and therefore the Rabbanan said that in the case of cooking one Isser egg with other eggs of Heter, 60 against the egg of Isser is not enough. You need 61 to compensate for the possibility that the egg of Isser will be larger than the other eggs of Heter. The Rambam in Hilchas Machlokes Asuros Perek Tes Vav gives a different reason. We learned in the Gemara before that when is an egg Asur, it's only the egg of an Ephroyach that has a chick within it. So that is a Beria. And since it's a Beria, the Rabbanan were machmir that a Beria, a unit of Isser, of this chick within the egg, that requires not 60 against it, but it requires 61 for a total of 62. There are two nafkaminas between these Rishonim. One nafkamina is, if you're not cooking an egg with other eggs, but you're cooking an egg with other foods, according to the Ramban and the Rosh, it's only when you're cooking egg with other eggs that the Rabbanan were machmer that you need a total of 62 to compensate for the different sizes of eggs. But if you're dealing with other food matter, then the regular halacha of 60-1 applies. According to the Rambam, it wouldn't make a difference. Since the egg of Isser is a Beria, then the Chachamim were machmer, you need 61 against it, a total of 62. Another nafkamina will be if the egg is broken and it's cooked with other eggs. According to Ramban and the Rosh, you'll still need 61 keneged the egg of Isser, a total of 62, because you're dealing with eggs, according to the Rambam, where the whole svar is because Beria, by Beria to Ramban were machmer, that's only if it's a whole thing. Once it's broken, it's no longer a Beria, and then the din would be that 60 besides it would be sufficient, as in all other Yisurim of the Torah. Continues the Gemara with two stories that happened with the children of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, with Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Hahudas l'kamid d'Rav Ram Gamaliel bar Rebbe, a person came in front of Ram Gamaliel. And Rashi in one shot says that the next two cases that we're going to learn about Ram Gamaliel and about Rab Shimon, the sons of Rebbe, are speaking about a Chatzi Zayas. And we'll learn the Gemara according to that pshat, and then we'll see the second pshat in Rashi, which Rashi says, V'li nira, and it's not speaking about a chatzi zayas, it's speaking about a zayas of Isser that fell into Heter. Let's first learn the chatzi zayas. Hahud asal kamei deram gamliel bar Rabbi Amar Lei, so there was not 60 in the pot against the Isser. There was only 47 times. And Amar Lei, Abba loy shir bar bom v'sheva. This is like in a question. Abba loy shir bar bom v'sheva, didn't my father mutter in a case of a chatzi zayas when there was only 47 keneged the Isser? He didn't require 60. He was more makel by a chatzi zayas, which is a chatzi shir. V'ani ashar bar bom v'chamesh. Isn't it true that my father used 47? I'll go a step further. I'll even be mutter with 45. And let's learn the second story. Ahud also came to Rab Shimon bar Rebbe, and the same thing. It didn't have samach, and it's speaking about a chatzi zayas according to the first pshat in Rashi. Amar lei, abba loy shir b'memhei. Didn't my father mutter in a case of a chatzi shear with 45? He did. V'ani yashar b'mem gimel. I'll go a step further. I'll even be matter with 43. However, Rashi in the second pshat learns both of these stories differently. It's speaking about what is Zayas, and we learn the Gemara in this way. Abba loy shir barbom v'sheva in the first story, or in the second story of Rab Shimon, Abba loy shir b'memhei. The fact is that when it was a kezayis that fell into Isser, he was not matter with 47, he was not even matter with 45. And then v'ani ashar, in the first story, barbom v'chamesh, in the second story, v'ani ashar b'mem gimel, if my father didn't even use 47, I should use 45. My father didn't even use 45, I should use 43. He said, no, you need 60. Apparently, these stories took place before the Chachamim were Kaveya the Shir of Samach, and then there was some question, how much do you need to be Mevatel the Tam of Isser? But our Gemara was saying clearly that 47, 45, 43 are all not good to be Mevatel a Kezayis, a full Shir of Isser, according to the main Pshat of Rashi, which is his second Pshat, where he says, Veli Nira, this is what I think is the correct Pshat. Continues the Gemara, Hahu Da'as L'Kamei Reb Chiya, Armalei, Klum Yeh Shleishim, is there 30? You don't even have 30 here in the pot. So the Gemara asks, Taima Deleka Shleishim. It seems to be that he was saying, well, you don't have 30. Ha Ikka Shleishim Misharin. The Gemara wonders, is it possible that Reb Chiya was saying that on an Isser, all you need is 30, where Mezalzel Rashi says to such a degree, and we only require to Mevatel an Isser 30, and we're going to say with 30, there's already no time. Is that possible? There's certainly a time when there's only 30. How could Reb Chiya say such a thing? Omer Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina said, Guzma. He meant it as a Guzma, meaning, of course, even if you had 30, I wouldn't be Mevatel. You need much more. You need 60. But I don't understand your question. You don't even have 30 here, so what are you coming to ask a Shaila who was the Isser Batel? You don't even have 30, so I'm just exaggerating how big of a problem you have here. Not to say that if you had 30, I would be Mevatel. But I'm just trying to say, you don't even have half of what's required. You need 60, you don't even have 30. If you had 30, I wouldn't be Mevatel either. I just want to tell you how much of a problem you have in this case. We now begin the sugya of Zraya B'Shela, which is the makor for Isser being this battle in Samach. Amr Rav Chibar Abba Amr Rav Yishuv Ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapara. Kol Yisurin Shabbatar B'Samach. All Yisurin in the Torah, when they are in a mixture of heter, if there is samach against the tam, the taste of the isser that is emitted from the isser, then that taste is batel. Omar lefana Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, so Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said to Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Rebbe Ato Emer Kain, you said in the name of Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, in the name of Bar Kapora, that all isser are batel b'samach, but we have a different variation of what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said in the name of Bar Kapora. Hachi Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapora, Kol Yisur and Shabbatar B'meya. It's not B'samach, but rather it is B'meya. Ushneim Lo Lamdu El Mizrei B'Shela. And the Gemara now is going to show that both of these versions of what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said in the name of Bar Kapora, whether it's Samach or whether in fact you require 100 times the Isser to Mevatel the Isser, they're both learned from Zraya B'Shela. Before we see how they are both learned from this Inyan of Zraya B'Shela, there's a very important Rashi, the first wide line at the bottom of the Amud, where Rashi says, B'Samach. And it's worthwhile to at least learn together the first line of Rashi. We learned before in Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis that when is Samach used? It is used when we cannot discern the tam. For example, if it's a case of min b'minoi, where the isser and the heter both taste exactly the same, or even if it's a case of min b'she'enoi minoi, and one would be able to discern the taste, but a Jew cannot taste it because perhaps he'll taste isser, so he would have to let a kfeila, a chef, a goyish chef, taste it. But perhaps there is no goyish chef available. And in those instances, we use samach, and we say that if you have samach, then the isser, we assume, is nizbatel, has become nullified in the heter. Rashi here adds a new case where samach will be used. Let us learn the Rashi together. It says, Rashi b'samach, heicha debat kinei, v'lo yoyev taima, where we checked out the mixture, and there was no tam of the isser in the heter. In other words, there was a goy who tasted it, and he said there's absolutely no taste of the isser in the heter. That's one case where we would use samach. Inami or lekalamekim atayim. We're not able, it's impossible to see whether there is a taste of Isser kagoyin min b'minoy. That's like the Gemara we learned before, where the Isser and the Eter both have the exact same taste. It's a treif chicken and a kosher chicken. Both chickens taste exactly the same. And Rashi doesn't add this, but we learned before, by min b'she'enoy minoy, and there is no goy to taste. So these are the circumstances when samach will be used. And then Rashi adds another halacha, Aval heicha debat kine, where we checked it out, v'yoyev taima, and there was a taste. And even if there was 60, or there was 100, according to that man d'yomer who says you need 100, lo'oylam taima loy batel, the tam is never batel. If we tasted it and we could still feel the taste after 100 or after 60, the tam is not batel. Rashi, in the second last line on the Amid, at the end of the line, tells us, afilo hachi rabbonin achmur, v'omer taima loy batel. This is a chumra mid rabbonin, mid raisa, if there's samoch, then it will be batel, even if you could taste it. However, the Rabbanan were machmer, that if there is a taste, even though it was batel b'samach, we say that it is usur. Now, Rashi here is actually telling us three chedushim. One of the chedushim that Rashi tells us, all the Rishonim are moidin. The other two chedushim of Rashi, he is disputing other Rishonim. Let us start with the chedush which Rashi says that everybody agrees to, and that is the last chiddush of Rashi. Aval heicha debat kinev yoyev taima loylo taima loy batel. This all the Rishonim agree to, that even if you have samach, or according to the Man d'Yomer that you have kuf, but let's say the goy tasted it and he could still taste iser, then it remains usser. The second chiddush of Rashi is that even if you have samach, you can only rely on samach in a case of min b'she'en or minoy, where it's able to be tasted, and there is a goy available to taste it, you have to first give it to the goy to taste. That's why Rashi says, heicha debat kine, where we checked it. First you have to check it. You have samach, but first you have to check it. On this, many Rishonim disagree, and they say that's not true. It's not necessary. Once the Chacham established that by a regular iser, samach is mevatel, or kuf, according to that man d'yomer, is mevatel, then even if you have a goy available, it's not necessary to give it to the goy. The third chiddush of Rashi is, which Rashi says at the beginning of that Rashi, heicha debat kinei v'loy yahiv taima. Now, where do you need samach? Where the goy checked it. You didn't want to rely on samach right away. You gave it to the goy. And then the goy tells you there's no tam. And Rashi says that's when you need samach. Even though the goy tasted it and he said there is no tam, I still need samach. If I wouldn't have samach, if I'd have less than samach, according to Rashi, it would not be batel, even though the goy tells us there's no tam. And on that toisis, the bottom toisis, the Ramasu Koli Surin, immediately argues, Pirish Bekuntris, the af ki lo yoiv taima boi shishim vein nira. And Rashi says that even if there's no tam, the goy tells us, still, you need samach, and Tosis disagrees, and it's totally in how to learn a Gemara further on Daf Tzadik Tess, but Tosis vehemently disagrees with Rashi, and so too, the Rosh disagrees with Rashi, and he brings a raya from the Gemara that we learned in yesterday's Daf, on Daf Samach Zayin. Because the Gemara said that we're soimach on a kfeila, and says the Rosh, according to Rashi, the word soimech is not proper, because according to Rashi, even if you have samach, you have to give it still to the goy to test. So it comes out that you need a kfeila and samach. If so, it's the goy is not, you're relying, you're soimech on the goy, you're lenient and you're saying a goy is good enough, but rather, according to Rashi, it's a chumra, you need both the goy and samach. One can't work without the other, you need both. So the Lashon of Samchinin is not a correct Lashon. And furthermore, Rav is said over there on Daf Tzadik Zayin, that mid Rabbanon, you need Tam, which a Koyin, for example, by Truma could taste, whether it has Truma mixed into the Chol. If a Jew is not able to taste it, then we use a Kfeila mid Rabbanon. And then also, if a Kfeila is not able to be used by Min B'minoy or Min B'shein Aminoy, there is no Goy, the Gemara says that's Samach. So you have three different methods of testing whether there is a Tam here or not. So the Rosh says, it would seem, B'pashtis, that you can have one without the other, as long as you establish that there is no tam. If a kfeila tells you there's no tam, then even if there's no samach, there's no tam. The whole purpose is to see whether there's tam or not. The goy is telling you there's no tam. The koyin is telling you there's no tam truma in the chulin. You have samach, then the samach tells you that there is no tam. Then you don't need a goy. So from these proofs, the Rush agrees with Tosfos against Rashi that if a goy tells you there's no tam, you don't need samach. If you have samach, you don't need a goy. You can rely on the samach. The goy doesn't have to taste it and then rely on the samach. So the Rush and Tosfos we understand very easily. Everything is dependent on tam, and therefore if there's less than samach and there is no tam, it's mutter. If there is samach, the last chiddush of Rashi, which all the Rishonim agree to, if there is samach and yet there's a tam, of course, if there is a tam, then the samach doesn't help. Everything is dependent on tam. What is the pshat in Rashi? So there must be Rashi that Rashi holds you need both things. Samach is not just a concept of bittel of the taste of the Isser, but rather it's necessary to have samach to be mevatel the Isser. Even if there is no taste, there's an inyan that you have to nullify the Isser. So memela, if this is the pshat in Rashi, that you need both a samach to mevatel the taste of the Isser, and you need samach also to be mevatel the Isser itself, besides the taste, then we can understand Rashi. So if there is samach and you still taste it, you haven't been mevatel the tam. So that, of course, is usser. If you have a goy tasting it, and there is no samach, and he tells you there's no tam, that's very good, there's no tam. But there's still a requirement that you need samach to be mevatel the isser itself. You don't have that. And hu adin, if you have samach, Rashi Sheet is you cannot depend on the goy. You cannot depend on samach itself, because samach will only tell you in most cases that there is no tam. But if you have a goy there and he's available, Rashi Sheet is, let him go ahead and taste it. If he tells you there's tam, then it's usser, even if you have samach. If he tells you there's no tam, then you can go ahead and you still need samach, because you need samach in order to be mevatel the isser itself. This is the shita of Rashi. Continues the Gemara. Where do we learn out the samach and the kuf? They both learned it out from Zeruiah B'Sheila. Zeruiah B'Sheila is by a nazir at the end of his nazirus. He has to bring a korban shlam. He has to bring an isle, a ram. And then the koyin takes, as the pasuk says, in Bamidbar Vav, pasuk yutes, v'lakach ha-koyin es ha-zeruiah b'sheila min ha-isle. He should take the cooked foreleg from the isle, from the ram. And he does tenufa with it, he waves it, and that zeruiah belongs to the koyin, and the rest of the meat of the shlamim, the yisrael, is allowed to eat. So says the pasuk, d'chsif, v'lakach ha-koyin zeruiah b'sheila, v'tanya, and we learned in the braisa, b'sheila, what does the word b'sheila mean? As we turn to the tzadik chesam and base, ein b'sheila, ela shlema. The word b'sheila, which we translate to mean cooked, but actually it also means whole, that you cannot cut it up into small pieces. Rashi says, loin the spirish b'eza loshin. Apparently Rashi understood the Gemara that in some language, and we don't know which language that is, the word b'sheila actually means whole, not cut up into pieces. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. It's not in some foreign language that b'sheila means shlema, but Tosfos says the word b'sheila is divided into two words, b'shel lo. In other words, it with what it has. Tosfos at the end says, kolaymer k'may shehi. It is the zeruiah, the foreleg, the right foreleg of the ram, and as it is, k'may shehi, it's not cut up into small pieces. That's a sheet of the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon ben Yochai Yomer, ein b'sheila, elishan is bashala ima aisle. B'sheila means that it was cooked together, the simple pshat, that it was cooked together with the aisle. The kuli alma, bahari aisle mevashala. Everybody holds. The Gemara is now going to tell us two ways to understand the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon ben Yochai. The first way is, the kuli alma, bahari aisle mevashala. Both the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon ben Yochai hold that the zeruya is cooked together in the same pot as the aisle. Rashi explains that even according to the Tanakhama, who says that b'sheila means shlema, that you can't cut up the zeruya into pieces, but he's also moited that the simple ein mikra yitzur de pshutai. The pasuk says v'loka hakoyin es hazeruya b'sheila min aisle. He takes the cooked zeruya from the aisle, so that indicates that in some manner the zeruya was cooked together min aisle. So everybody holds that it's cooked in the same pot, and if the Tanakhama wouldn't hold that it was cooked in the same pot, Mar Sover, let's see the next line. Mar Sover Mahatachlo Vahar Mevashala. The Tanakhama holds that first you have to cut it off and then cook it together in the same pot. Why? Because if it was connected actually, it had not been severed, it had not been cut off, then what do you need to say that B'Sheila means Shlema? Of course it's whole. Of course it's not cut up into pieces because it's all together, Mechubber, connected the foreleg with the rest of the aisle. So of course it's not cut up. So Elamai, if I'm learning Ein B'Sheila El Shlema, that a special limit that it's not cut up, it must be that it's cooking in the same same part, but it was severed from the rest of the aisle. So I might have thought maybe the foreleg itself is all cut up into small pieces. Kamash Milan, no, ain't b'shel l'shleima, that it's whole, b'shel law, with what it has, that you leave it the way it is, whole. Because it's together in the same part, but it's severed. That's what the Tanakhama holds. Umar Sovereign, Rabbi Shimon Yochai holds, Mevashallah, Vahadar Mechatech Law. No, he holds that when the Pasuk says, the Lakach HaKoyen Zorei B'Sheila Min Ha'ayil, it means that before the Koyen waves it, he first has to cut it off because it was cooked all together with the aisle, not just in one part, but it's actually Mechuber connected to the rest of the aisle, and then he cuts it, then he waves it, and it's been all cooked together. The Evoy is saying it is a second way to understand the Machlogis between Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Yochai. The Kuli Yama Mechatech Law, Vahadar Mevashallah. Everybody holds that you cut it off and then you cook it. Miu Mar Sav Reb Shimon Ben Yochai holds Bahari Ayil Mevashalo, as the pashtus of the pasuk is that it's Zroya B'Shelem in a Ayil was cooked together. Umar Sav the Tanakam holds B'Kedera Acheres Mevashalo, that it's totally not only severed but it was cooked in a different pot. And on this Taisus says in the second Taisus at the end Leikiri Amri B'Kedera Acheres Mevashalo the Tanakam Moitzi Oysemi De Pshutai, that Ein Echanami according to the second pshat the Tanakam is taking it out of its simple pshat, because the simple pshat is it's cooked together. He says, no, you take the Zroya B'Shelem in Ohio, but actually it's already been severed and been cooked in a separate pot. L'chayra, that is not the simple pshat in the pasuk. So it comes out that according to the first pshat, everybody holds that it was cooked together. Tanakhama holds it was severed and cooked together in the same pot, and Rav Shimon Ben Yochai holds it was actually connected and cooked together in the same pot. According to the second Lushan, Rav Shimon Ben Yochai holds it was severed and cooked in the same pot. Tanakhama holds not only was it severed, but it was cooked in a separate pot. So it comes out as follows. And according to the first lashon, it comes out according to everybody, it was either cooked in the same pot together, severed, or it was connected. But what the Gemara is trying to say is, here's how we learn out samach or kuf from zroya b'sheila, because a zar is usher to eat the zroya. So how can you cook the zroya together with the rest of the aisle? The tam of the foreleg, which is only mutter to kohanim, will penetrate and go into the rest of the aisle. So it must be, the reason it's mutter is because you have a bittel over here. And we'll see why one holds bittel b'samach and one holds bittel b'kov. But we see that it's based on the concept of bittel, or else how could you cook it together and give the kayin the zroya and give the rest of the basar to the Yisrael? The Yisrael is eating the taste of the zroya in the rest of the basar. So l'lishne kam ali b'divrei kol. According to the first lashon, we can learn this from both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Yochai, that there was a taste that was emitted, and yet that taste is mutter because of bittel. L'lishne basar, according to the Ibo Yisema, then it's only ali b'divrei Rabbi Shimon Yochai, because Rabbi Shimon Yochai says it's cut off according to that second lashon, but it's cooked in the same pot. The Tanakhama holds, not only is it cut off, it's in a different pot. Then it wasn't cooked together. If it wasn't cooked together, then you have no raya for bittel b'samach or bittel b'kof. So Mandi Amr B'shishim, the Mandi Amr says B'shishim Savar Basar V'atzama, it's Bahadi Basar V'atzama, it's B'sharinin. He says that when the taste of the Zroya went into the Basar, it not only was emitted from the flesh of the Zroya, but it was also emitted from the bone of the Zroya into the flesh and bone of the rest of the aisle. So we measured the whole Zroya against the rest of the aisle. And if you do that, then Misharinin Vahavale B'Shishim. Then the ratio is 1 to 60. Here's where you learn out Bittel B'Shishim. But Mandiyamr B'Mei is sovereign. One holds 100, holds that the bones do not emit Tom. So therefore, you don't count the bones in giving off tam, neither do you count the bones in being mevatel tam. The bones of the rest of the aisle should be mevatel the tam that was emitted. Bones don't come into the cheshbon. So mandi amr b'mei sover baser b'adi baser misharinin. We estimate the ratio of flesh of the zroya to flesh of the rest of the aisle. And here Rashi explains that in the zroya part, because we don't, the zroya, the right foreleg, does not include the shoulder where there's a lot of meat. It rather is the first bone attached to the shoulder and the second bone that's attached to that first bone that was attached to the shoulder. Those two bones are mainly, that part of the leg is mainly bone and very little flesh. So if you're only counting the flesh of the foreleg vis-a-vis the flesh of the rest of the aisle, that's a ratio of 1 in 100. V'havale b'meya, that's only 1 in 100. The Ritva asks, why is it 1 in 100? What happened to the water in which it's cooked? That's also, we use everything in the pot to be mevatel. So then the chayr to shear would not be 1 in 100 or 1 in 60. It would be much more, counting the water that you're using to be mevatel the tam. And the Ritva says that since one is able to cook the ayil in its own juice, it could be speaking about where there is no water. And Mimela, even so, he's allowed, the Yisrael is allowed to eat the rest of the ayil. So we see bitl b'samach or bitl b'kuf. Ask the Gemara, umi afina mino. Can we actually learn it from here? Now, before we go on to what the Gemara's kasha is, we should point out that Tosis and Divrei Maskil, Man D'Amar B'Shishim, says that this whole limud that we're learning from Zerei B'Sheila is an asmachta b'yama. It's a remez, it's a hint, it's a way of remembering the shir of Samach or of Meya. And the Run and the Rush all agree with Tosis that it's not a real limud, it's only asmachta. If it were a real limud, this would really be a makor for an important concept which we haven't really focused on in the whole sugya, and that is the Isser that we're speaking about over here is one of Tom Kaker. When we're worried about the tam, the taste that's being emitted from the isser into the heter, you throw out the isser. So all that we're discussing is the taste. Why is the taste usser? The taste is usser because there's a concept known that the taste of a dover usser is usser, like the ikr, like the main part of the dover usser that you could see. So the taste that is emitted is also usser, like the main part. So if this would be a real drusha for samach or kuf, then it would come out that if you have less than samach or less than kuf, it would be usser. Based on what principle? It would be usser because of the concept of tam keiker. So Tosis says this cannot be a source for tam keiker. For example, when you have min b'she'en aminoi and you could taste of the isser in the heter, this could not be a source because this pasuk, in fact, is speaking about zroi b'she'ela with the ayil. This is min b'minoi. It's the same taste. And the Gemara in Zvachim tells us, by min b'minoi, it's batol b'roiv. You don't even need samach mid'oraisa. It's batol b'roiv. So how could I learn out the halacha of tam ke'ikr from here, and you always need samach, or kuf, according to the Amman D'Yomer, when here we're speaking about min b'minoi, and min b'minoi is batol b'roiv. So Taisa says, einachanami. Let's see the Taisa inside. Man d'Amar b'shishim savar basar v'atzomis. The fourth Taisa on the Amid. Lav d'rasha gemurahi, le'melef mino, le'inyan min b'she'enoi minoi de'tam ke'ikr d'raisa. You're not learning from here this source that tam ke'ikr is d'raisa, and tam will be usher min b'she'enoi minoi, when you can taste it, until you have samach or kuf. Why? The hacha min b'mina. By the way, there's a machloikis whether we say tam keker deraisa. Tosis is going that we go like the shita that tam keker is deraisa. The hacha min b'mina yhu. Here we're talking about not min b'shein b'mina, we're talking about where you can't even taste it because it's a case of the zroya with the aisle. That's all one taste. Min b'mina yhu. The midaraisa b'tela beruba. Midaraisa, it's batel b'roif. Ella says Tosis, the real source of tam keker deraisa is from another place, which the Gemara elsewhere brings the source for tam keker. The samach that we require, both when you're speaking about min b'she'en aminoi, where tam ke'ikr is deraisa, that samach should help to mevatel that tam. And even by min b'minoi, where mideraisa batel b'roiv, but the chachamim were geyser, min b'minoi, because of min b'she'en aminoi, and they required samach by min b'minoi as well. So over there also, samach helps to be mevatel. Less than samach will be usher, mid'rabbonon, because of min b'she'en aminoi. But in all these cases, samach will work. Why? Says Tosis, ala v'shishim u'mea kabola ha'isa b'yadam, v'asmechua ha'ikra. So Tosis and Sodoran and the Rosh say that this was a kabola. Chazal had a kabola that isurim are batel b'samach or b'kuf. And they just wanted you to remember it. If you remembered in the Zroya B'Shela, in the case of the Isle of a Nazir, you'll remember that the meat to the meat is 100, and the meat in the bones to the meat in the bones is 60. That's a nice way to remember, but not that we're actually learning from here, because this is a Asmachta B'Alma. Now the Gemara asks, how could we learn this out B'Chlal? V'Hatanya, we learned concerning this halacha of Zroya B'Shela, Zeo Heter Abba Machal Isser. This is a heter here, which comes from an Isser. Now, this is an exception to the rule. Normally, this very case of Zerei B'Shela would be usher. So what does that mean? Zeo lemute mai. What are you trying to say? Lav lemute kol isur in shebetara. Aren't we saying that everywhere else in the Torah we wouldn't use samach or kuf, and only here we're relying on samach and kuf? So how can you learn from here b'chlal? Amar Abaya, says Abaya, loy nitzrucha el Rabbi Yehuda. No, this is an exception to the rule of Rabbi Yehuda. We've been learning all the time, we just mentioned that min b'minoi, mid'oraisa, is batel b'roiv. And it's only Rabbanan that they required samach. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is the Amar min b'mina loy batal. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that min b'mina where you can't taste it. It's not easier than min b'shein amina, but the fact that you can't taste it, in fact, afilu be'elef loy batal. It's never batal. That's the rule all over. This is an exception to the rule. Zeu heter b'machal iser, that here, even though zroy b'shein is a case of min b'mina, here we will say that it is batal. Kamash malan dahacha batal. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we understand why here it's an exception, but not that it's an exceptional inyan samach or kuf. That will remain a limud for chol haTorah that isurim are batal samach or kuf. Tosfos in Divrei Maaseh lav lemute wants to understand the Gemara's kasha. Very simple. You know what we could say? Zeu heter b'machal iser, not for samach, not for min b'mina according to Rabbi Yehuda, but rather, because always we have a rule, ein mevatal an iser l'chatchila. You cannot set up an iser to become batal. It's only after the fact that you're allowed to be soymach that it became batal, but you can't set it up l'chatchila. Yet here we're telling the nazir, go cook your ale nazir and be mevatal the tam of the zroya and eat the rest of the ayo. So you're being mevatal l'chatchila. That's the heter that we have here, special heter by zroya b'sheila that we don't have in the rest of the Torah. Taisa's answer is no, because it's mashma zeu heter b'machal iser. It's something we're allowed to eat, which normally we can't eat. Not that we can't do the action of being mevatal l'chatchila. It's mashma, it's a food that we normally can't eat, and here we could. The Gemara thought it's l'gabi samach and kuf. The Gemara says no, it's l'gabi the din of min b'min or loy batal, that here it is batal.